So when I was blazing the path, right, back in 2003, 2004, and I was on my own. I didn't know any other homeschoolers when I started homeschooling. Like I was really on my own at that point. But now I'm on the other side. My youngest just started college this year. And all of my children come back to me and they're like, "Mom, we're so glad that you showed us how to run a business. We're so glad that you taught us that you could have all your dreams, that you didn't have to sacrifice one thing for the other." And they're so thankful. All four of them have come back and just said, "You know, thank you for showing us what is possible." So I would just encourage like any mom who's going, "Man, am I going to traumatize my children? Am I neglecting them? Am I hurting them? Because I'm not 100% solely a homeschool mom." I promise I'm with women every single day that are doing this. Yes, it does take strategy. Yes, it does take a different mindset. But I will tell you on the other side of it, the kids, they're better for it. They don't just survive, they actually thrive because of it.
That's Jen Myers, entrepreneur, founder of Homeschool CEO, and longtime homeschool mom. Over the past 17 years, Jen has homeschooled four kids while building three multi-six-figure businesses. It all started in 2004 when her life came to a crossroads. The traditional school system wasn't working for her family, and their second grader and preschooler needed more than the school system could provide. Back then, homeschooling wasn't even on their radar, and they had a thriving automated repair shop. Was it even possible to be successful at both homeschooling and entrepreneurship? Through a crazy turn of events, Jen decided to try out homeschooling. She quickly learned that running both the business and homeschool was possible, and she didn't have to feel guilty about it. That's why Homeschool CEO was created, to connect, empower, and inspire women who are building more than a side hustle, all while educating the next generation of leaders who will change the world. So grab a seat by the fire as we travel to Iowa and discuss how you can homeschool and build a wildly successful business at the same time. But before we begin, just a few reminders. For any new homeschooling families, remember to grab your free Homeschool Getting Started packet. It includes the step-by-step process to getting started, a supply checklist, as well as a few blank, simple weekly planner templates. And with fall approaching, we're also releasing our free Ultimate Family Camping Outdoor Checklist. Nathan and I have been camping for over 6 years now with kids and a dog, and we've been through all the stages, so we know what to expect and we know how stressful it can be at times, which is why we put this together in hopes to help other families that want to get out there and camp more. Both packets are now available on our website's homepage to download, as well as right here on the show notes. And now, back to the campfire. All right, so good morning, Jen, and welcome to the Homeschool Project Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor to be here.
Ah, thank you. We are so excited to have you on and all of your knowledge you have to offer in this conversation. I think it's going to be a wonderful piece to the series. So I always like to start with an introduction of you kind of briefly sharing a little about yourself, where you're from, number of kids, ages, all that, and like what it is you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the founder of Homeschool CEO. We're an international community for entrepreneurs that homeschool. But before starting that, outside of just being a business owner, I actually have four kids. Two of them are bonus kids that I've raised since they were 3 and 5. Our kids are now 25, 23, 22, and our youngest, who just started college this year, is 17.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so we were a busy household. We've been homeschooling since 2004, so 18 years now, so a long time. Throughout the years, we've done some form of public school, private school, hybrid, where they would take a few classes here and there. The only kid who has never been to traditional schooling is our youngest. And that is because we started homeschooling with him when I was pregnant with him, and traditional schooling was not his thing, but he is the one that decided, he is the only one out of the four that decided to go to traditional college. So
wow,
it all works out. So that's a little bit about me. We're from Iowa. I've been married for the last 18 years to my best friend. He's incredible. We have a couple of dogs and we are serial entrepreneurs. Homeschool CEO is actually our fourth business that I built.
Ah, see, I knew you were just going to be perfect for this. And you have all of that knowledge base because you literally have graduated the last one.
That's incredible.
I love that. So wonderful. So why don't we start with you telling us how you guys came to homeschooling, like the backstory on that.
Well, I am one of those people who never thought I would homeschool. I didn't look like a homeschooler. I didn't sound like a homeschooler. In total honesty, I thought homeschoolers were weird. Back in the early 2000s, they still really had this stigma that they were this kind of cult-like, didn't have outside influences, didn't really integrate with the real world. And that honestly, that wasn't at all how it was, but that's just how I perceived it. And our kids at the time were in second grade, kindergarten, and preschool. So our two older were in public school. Our youngest one at the time was in a private preschool. I'm an INFJ. So as an INFJ, like I like plans. And so I had a very organized life. I'm like, okay, this is fantastic. Our youngest is going to go to kindergarten next year. My husband and I decided we were done having kids. He had a vasectomy. We're like, life was going according to plan. I had just been accepted to graduate school to get my PhD and master's in a 3-year program so that I could teach college because I actually love teaching, but I never really thought I would teach my own kids. And so I had my acceptance letter. We were done having kids. Life was going swimmingly according to plan. And then we went to parent teacher conferences and our oldest was really struggling. And back in 2004, when this was 2003, 2004, they didn't have the services that they have available now for testing and identification of learning differences. Later, we'd find out that she was dyslexic and had dysgraphia as well, but we didn't know. All we knew that she was really, really struggling. And this was my daughter, my two oldest ones I had raised since they were 3 and 5, but they had come with a lot of trauma. And so we were like, oh, they'll catch up. It's okay. And the teacher's like, no, she's really struggling. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with her? And the teacher, who was a public school teacher, actually sat down and said, have you ever considered homeschooling? I think if you homeschooled this child for 1 year, you could totally catch her up. And I thought, no. I'm going to graduate school. Like, I have a plan. And the next week, we went to parent-teacher conferences for child number 3. And he was in a private preschool. This was my child that started reading at 3 years old on his own. So like he was reading chapter books on his own. Later, he would be identified as being on the autism spectrum with Asperger's. So, but we didn't know that at that point. You know, he's 4 years old, he's off the charts. And the teacher says, you cannot send this child to kindergarten. And I said, well, why not? And she said, well, because he's at like a third grade level in everything. Now we did notice that he was advanced compared to the other two that were older than him, but never thought, you know, he was very social, some awkwardness, but not anything that we were really super concerned about. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with him? And she said, have you ever considered homeschooling him? I think he would be a really great candidate for this. I'm like, are you kidding me? 2 teachers in 2 weeks? This is insane. And I said, no. I'm going to graduate school. Like I have my acceptance letter. I am done. We have a very successful automotive business that we have at this point. My husband is running and I'm kind of helping fill in, but it's not really, I'm not in the business yet. Like, you know, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go to graduate school. Like I'm going to carry the insurance for the family. We have this plan. And she was like, okay, like, I'm just telling you, he can't go to kindergarten, traditional kindergarten, because he's going to be bored out of his mind. The next week I sat on our bed, bawling my eyes out going, I think I'm losing my mind. I think I'm pregnant. And my husband said, there's no way. I just had the surgery 3 weeks ago. Like you're just paranoid. And I'm like, no, I know my body. There's something really wrong with me. Proceeded that day to take the kids to school, went to the drugstore, got a test. We found out that I had conceived our bonus baby 3 days before my husband's surgery.
My gosh.
And so when I called him home, I was hysterical, to put it mildly. I was pretty upset. And he said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I guess we're going to homeschool. Because I said, I'm going to be home for the next year with this baby anyway. So I will just step into the business and that will kind of become my passion. And I will homeschool these kids because just being a homeschool mom for me wasn't quite enough. I just needed something a little bit more for me. Mm-hmm. And so that was 2004 and we never looked back. Like we just kept homeschooling year after year. We've tried different things throughout the years for different kids, but we built the automotive business up to almost 7 figures and then built a couple of additional businesses and just continued to homeschool all along the way.
Wow, Jen, my goodness, somebody was trying to give you the message that you need to homeschool.
Obviously, I'm very slow to learn, but I'm so thankful, you know. And when I first started homeschooling, I remember sitting with my dad. We went out to breakfast one morning, and I hadn't told him I was pregnant, hadn't told him, you know, that I wasn't going to be going to graduate school, hadn't told him like our homeschooling plans. And I said to him, "Hey, Dad, this is what's happening. And also, I'm going to homeschool the kids this year." And he looked at me and he said, "I just wish you wouldn't waste your education like that." And I remember Anita sitting there crushed. Like, my husband still talks about it. And I remember coming home from that breakfast. One, I'm pregnant. Okay, y'all. So I'm like super emotional.
Right.
And I'm like, I was daddy's little girl, even as an adult. And I'm like, my dad's disappointed in me. But then I'm an Enneagram 8. So I was like, forget you. I'll show you. Watch me. Right. I can do this. And now he looks at me and he's like, "I am so glad you did not listen to me. I am so glad you homeschooled all your kids. I am so glad that now you're leading other women as they're building their businesses and homeschooling." And now he's super proud. But back then, it was hard. It was hard to follow my heart and my gut when everybody outside of me is like, "You're doing what? Why are you doing that?"
Yeah, probably thought you were crazy, but challenge accepted, right?
Absolutely.
So we're doing this home education series, and I wanted to touch on all the major areas of home education. And one of those, I feel, is being an entrepreneur or working full-time from home while homeschooling. So when you think about throwing homeschool into the mix while trying to run a business, it sounds like a lot. So I'd like to start by asking you, why did you choose to continue to run your business and homeschool? Was it out of necessity, or was it out of like you, that's just a part of you that you didn't want to let go?
For me, it wasn't out of necessity because my husband was running it, but there was a part of me that was just driven for more. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wanted to show my kids that anything was possible. I wanted to lead by example. And also what would happen was I would go to like these homeschool co-ops and I would sit at the table with different women that, bless their hearts, they were the sweetest, but they didn't talk about the things that I talked about. Mm-hmm. So I had a really hard time connecting with them because I wanted to talk about business strategy. I wanted to talk about like reverse engineer. These are our goals. Like, this is what we want to do as a family. We want to travel internationally, but I wasn't going to do that on really a one-person income necessarily, unless I'm building the business up. So it was a twofold thing. Like, part of it was necessity to reach the goals that we wanted to conquer. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it came to just an identity. Like, I needed that to be more. And even during the little snippets of time throughout the last, 18 years of homeschooling that we maybe haven't had a business because we sold a couple of our businesses, I created micro businesses. I ran the basketball team, like the whole entire program when our kid decided to go to public high school for 2 years. Like, I created and I ran everything in my life like a business because that's what made sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And you know what? I think that that's really encouraging for those that might feel, if I say this correctly, kind of guilty if they have that passion to want to have that business mindset, but then they feel bad, like, am I supposed to have more of that motherly home educating mindset, where I feel like you can really have both, you know?
You can 100% have both. And I've talked to women about this every single day, and it helps. When I was blazing the path, right, back in 2003, 2004, and I was on my own. I didn't know any other homeschoolers when I started homeschooling. Like, I was really on my own at that point. But now I'm on the other side. My youngest just started college this year, and all of my children come back to me and they're like, "Mom, we're so glad that you showed us how to run a business. We're so glad that you taught us that you could have all your dreams, that you didn't have to sacrifice one thing for the other." And they're so thankful. All four of them have come back and just said, "You know, thank you for showing us what is possible." So I would just encourage like any mom who's going, "Man, am I going to traumatize my children? Am I neglecting them? Am I hurting them? Because I'm not 100% solely a homeschool mom." I promise I'm with women every single day that are doing this. Yes, it does take strategy. Yes, it does take a different mindset. But I will tell you, on the other side of it, the kids, they're better for it. They don't just survive, they actually thrive because of it.
I love that. Yes. Yes, and I'll probably touch on that a little more in a little bit. So my $1 million question is, how do you manage it all and make it work? Is there a strategy? Is there some sort of organizational plan here? How does that all come together for you?
Yeah, that is actually the number one question that I get is like, they look, even on my own team, they were like, Jen, I don't know how you get it all done. But a lot of it comes from, what do I say no to? Because I say no to a lot. I have to, because I don't want to neglect my children. Even though my youngest is 17 and is now in college, he still lives at home. He still comes home and needs me. You know, I have my 22-year-old that I meet every week for breakfast. You know, I check in on my other ones. Like, that's really important to me. So what I do is I line up my scheduling based on how much control I have over my time. So if I have 100% control over my time, meaning there are no interruptions, like I know, like this would have been when my kids were little, like they were sleeping, you know, or they were out. Like I had a neighborhood mother's helper that came and would take them to the park. So I knew that was a chunk of time I had 100% over. Nobody was going to interrupt me. That was my time, right? Or at night, or if my husband was taking the kids out for a day, or my parents helped and would take them, or whatever that looked like, where I had 100% time. I line up my priorities in the business or in the household on what can I do that requires 100% of my brain power. So like my copywriting might go in there, recording a video, recording a podcast, for example, would go underneath it. Like things that I can't really be interrupted on. That's what goes in those blocks of time. And so I have a running list, like, okay, these are my 100% brain power stuff. Like they also have to go into my 100% control time. Then there's other things that are like 50%, right? Mm-hmm. That might be things where I need to be able to be focused, but if I get interrupted, not a big deal. I can go back to that task. So maybe that looks like an email responding. Mm-hmm. Maybe that looks like I'm engaging on social media. So maybe that's during like kids' quiet time. Mm-hmm. I would do those types of things. So if the kid interrupted me, no big deal. I wasn't going to be upset. My whole day wasn't derailed. Mm-hmm. That's what I did during that time. Same thing when it came to like homeschooling. I blocked it out. Like what thing with my kid required me to be 100% present? Reading, for example, math, things were like, I couldn't be multitasking. I really needed to focus. I line them up like that. And that is how I schedule my day. And then those mindless things are things that maybe I'm doing while I'm waiting for my kid at gymnastics practice. Mm-hmm. You know, that literally you could do anytime. You just have to get it done. Or maybe I'm listening to an audiobook. Like that's my training time when I'm exercising or I'm, you know, walking the dog or whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. That is how I line those things up. And then also too, you know, I know we're going to talk about this, but having a CEO mindset is so big because you have to identify like, what is your biggest return on your investment of time? Because time's something that we can't get back. Once it's spent, it's spent. So what is really moving the needle forward and how much can we just get off of our plate, whether that means eliminating it, whether it's delegating it, automating it, whatever that looks like. That's a big thing. Like, you know, just to give very tangible examples, groceries. I have a 4-week schedule. These are our meals. We don't really change them. We don't need to. When we get really bored, I might throw in a new week, but I plan out the meal for the whole week. That's on automatic ordering. So we have them delivered to the house. That's something that we automated. I don't need to go to the grocery store. You know, none of that needs to happen. And you know, stuff like that. And then same thing in the business. And that's how I really get it all done, going like, okay, how do I schedule my time based on how much control I have and how much brain power I need and focus? What can I automate, delegate, and eliminate? And in both household and business, like all areas of life. And then what can I just say no to?
I love that. Yes. When you were talking about how like your child's gymnastics practice, like same thing, like you have to look for those moments where you can work on other things. So like for me, when I take one of my kids to cross country practice, that's not something that I feel I'm neglecting them by watching them because she literally runs away. Like they don't stay, you know, like at karate practice, I have to give a little more attention because they'll see that if I'm not looking at them and I'm looking like at my phone or on my note, you know, then they kind of get their feelings hurt. But there are certain other activities where it's okay. And I don't feel bad. And I bring my stuff and I work on that for that hour long that I'm sitting in the car and waiting on her at the park, you know, and just finding, like you said, those little golden opportunities of where you can get stuff done. I've definitely learned that in this past year of having to throw in the mix now of the podcast and everything that we're trying to build with this now. And like you said, grocery pickup. Yes, I know you could do delivery. I haven't done delivery yet, but I do the grocery pickup and it saves so much time. It's all those little things. Or if you have older kids, delegating tasks for older kids to help out, whether it's with the school stuff, the lesson stuff, or with the house chores. So I don't know if that's also some of the things that you had done growing up on those like younger stages.
Yes. When our kids hit 10 years old, it was a graduation to laundry duty. So I have not had to do any laundry in our family in many years. Like I'm looking at it now going, oh, you know, there's three of us left in the house and everybody does their own laundry. But for years, like I delegated to our kids and that was part of their contribution to our family, to making things run. And they learned so much. It was never this mom guilt of, oh, I'm shoving it off onto my children. No, they learned how to clean a house. Our one daughter, she used to be in charge of all of the meal planning, you know, all of those things. And that set them up for success in adulthood. You know, my children graduated to adulting very, very well, but I believe it's because I delegated the household stuff to them early on. And the same thing with school, because I had such a large gap between my oldest and my youngest, it was like an honor to teach the younger kids and to help out and to practice, even doing things like flashcards, you know, simple stuff in the car. I remember saying, hey, do the flashcards with the youngest one. You know, that was a game that we played. But honestly, finding those pockets of time is just key to success.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And yeah, the car schooling is a thing too in your busy lives. Like do what you can in the car rides, whether it is through audiobooks that you can get different lessons on, or if it is the older kids helping like with flashcards, is genius. Just try to work out as much time as you can in other areas of your life. So you talked about mindset. So what would you say? Because I truly believe that mindset is a powerful tool. So what would you say is the significance of mindset in Homeschool CEO?
I think the biggest key when it comes to mindset, it comes down to ROI. Really, what is your return on investment in all areas of your life? I think so often we look at it just in business, but it really applies to everything. So for example, if you've ever studied the love languages, I'm big with my parents because here's the thing, each of our children have a love language. Mm-hmm. And so often it's not generally the love language that we naturally speak. It's not our love language as a mom. I mean, that would be in a perfect world. It'd be so great if we all spoke the same love language, but that is not reality. So when you take a minute and really identify what their love language is, for example, I have one child whose love language is quality time. So for that child, I used to start my mornings with him. When he would wake up, we would carve out 15 minutes. We would have hot tea together and hang out and just chat. And he's a talker. So I would let him just tell me about whatever dream he had or whatever he wanted. But that filled his love tank for that whole day. So he didn't feel like, oh, mom's ignoring me, because I built it on the foundation of the love language that spoke to him. Mm-hmm. Because he knew that he had my undivided attention. It only had to be 15 minutes. This was not like a 4-hour adventure for us. And then we would build it. That's also the child that I meet weekly for breakfast. You know, we built in date nights once a month with him because that was a big deal to him. Another child, his love language is gifts. So when I travel for business, if I bring him back a gift, it's like I wasn't even gone. He loves it, but that's a mindset. Rather than like trying to go around and do all these things for all these children, instead really zeroing in on what matters most to them and meet them where they are. Same thing in business, same thing in life. Whatever is that biggest needle mover, that is what we focus on. And we don't talk about like what we can't do. It's what can we do to get the biggest return on whatever we're investing, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's energy, in every aspect of our lives.
I love that, Jen. Man, you definitely have been doing this for years. I'm like, I'm going to gain so much from this conversation for myself. Figuring out, because I do, I have one that is a talker, like first thing in the morning. So I should probably try sitting down and just dedicating 15 minutes with just her and see if that helps, because it can be overwhelming the rest of the day.
Well, and when you like for that one, what I learned is if you say like, you are so valuable to me, like you are so important and I love you so much. I want, like, you make a big deal. Like I want to spend time with you. It's not like you're granting her a wish. You know, it's not like that. It's not like you're up here and she's down here mm-hmm. below you. It's you're bringing her up to your level going, you are so important. I want to give you this undivided attention. How would that feel? Like, how is that okay with you? And they're like, absolutely. Yes, let's do this. And you make it something special. And that's what they remember. They don't remember the times that you're working and aren't paying attention to everything. They remember that mom started her day with me and had time for me at the beginning.
See, I like that a lot because there are times now, again, as this is getting busier for us, that I get that mom guilt. And I'm like, man, if I think about like the amount of time that I have to like step away and like work on this, is that like, I don't know how they're portraying that, even though there are times in the day where I'm giving them my everything. But then as soon as like we're done and I break off, I never know like how they feel. So I like how just making sure like you reiterate just how important they are. And so that sticks with them and not that they remember the parents stepping away to go work or, you know, saying, okay, it's mom's time now, go do your thing. Cause yeah, I was gonna say, I just get guilt sometimes with that.
You know, what really helps with that, Anita, is creating a schedule with boundaries that you both see going, This is the time. And it doesn't have to be this rigid, like 3 to 6, you know, it doesn't have to be minute to minute, but kind of a rhythm of your day of we're going to hang out for 15, you know, we're going to hang out first and then we're going to do schoolwork and then we're going to do this. But so they understand that there's a time in the day that there's a rhythm of 2 or 3 hours where you are going to be focused on work. And that's, you know, you're letting them know like, hey, here are the options of things you can do during this time. Whether it's, we did busy boxes. So like the kids had certain boxes they could take out of activities where they knew like those are special toys that they could only play with while mom was working.
So what else? Like we've kind of talked about how you juggled all of this. Now, if you could paint us a picture of what that looked like for you throughout these years of homeschooling and running your businesses, not just one, multiple.
So
maybe like a day in the life type thing, you know?
Ooh, okay. So to be totally honest, it changed for every season, depending on the season of business, the season of children, where they were, whether it was a traveling sports season or not, you know, whether it was, we had a homestead for 7 years. So whether we were birthing animals at that point, you know, so like every day changed, but in general, there were some things that stayed consistent. And I will tell you, they stayed consistent because they weren't at the beginning. And I ended up hitting burnout about 5 years into this, where I was trying, if I could just take you back to kind of give a little backstory, you know, 5 years in, I was doing all the things. Like I was the right-hand person in the business. We had grown the first business into the, you know, multi six figures per year realm. We had a team of 4, but I was like, I was doing all the things. I was running the bookkeeping, customer service. I was all of it, plus homeschooling the kids and doing all of that too. And I hit a season where I was just burned out. And the kids call it mom sabbatical. Because I literally quit everything. Like I quit life. I did the bare minimum in the business. We ended up selling that business because we had just really created a job for ourselves. So we worked hard to create it as a business then at that point and sell it. But I was burned out. So when I came back from that, I was much wiser, much more rested, you know, because you learn life teaches us a lot of times.
Yes.
And so what I started doing, so in the mornings, I would always have quiet time by myself, but I'm a morning person. I always tell my moms, you may not be a morning person. Your energy might be a night owl. That is my husband. He wants to do his work at night. I am like after 8 p.m. hard pass. Like not for me.
That's
but
me.
I would, okay. That's you. Okay. So yes. Then yours would just be flipped around. Right. So
no, mine is you like morning person to the T. Yes.
Okay. So I would get up and I needed that time to just be quiet. As an introvert, I needed that moment of silence. Because I knew once those kiddos got up, my feet were going to run from morning to night. Like there wouldn't be a lot of downtime after that. So I would take that morning and I still take that morning time now. Even now that my kids are older, that's that quiet time where I don't look at my phone. I'm not checking Voxers. I'm not checking emails. I'm just quiet. You know, I may journal. I may read. Sometimes I'll throw on a podcast and go for a walk, whatever that looks like. But that's my morning routine. Then my kids would get up. We would, depending on which child it was, my one who had the quality time love language, he was always my first one up, which was very convenient. So he would get up at 7. We would hang out together. have our morning tea. And that was his thing. We'd chat, listen, you know, talk about our day. Our kids would get up. They would have the first hour kind of by themselves to go through their morning routine. So that would be morning chores, getting ready. Then after that, once all of that was done, we would do schoolwork. And for us, I needed to get the hard things of schoolwork out of the way first so that I could concentrate on business. Like that's just the way that my brain worked. And so we would do the harder things, whatever that looked like, whether it was reading, math, whatever per kid that they needed. So we'd work on school for 2 hours, knock out everything that was like the check mark boxes, mm-hmm. right? The things that make us feel guilty if we don't get them done.
Right.
I'm just calling it like it is. Those things are like,
you're so right.
Yeah. Just it, and a lot of times it still kind of looked like unschooling, mm-hmm. you know, because it wasn't that I was a dictator and said, these are the worksheets you have to do, but it was the stuff that made me feel like I got them accomplished. They were my major subjects, you know, and they changed every season depending on the kid. Then after that, the kids would have quiet time, independent learning or playing. And we played a game growing up where they could do anything they wanted as long as it was educational. So my children learned to pitch their educational ideas that were really, you know, they were playing, but they were learning. Like my one son loved Dora the Explorer. He is fluent in Spanish, but he would tell me, Mom, I am learning Spanish and this is why this is so important. Things like that. So then they would have like independent time. That was my time to work. We'd have lunch. In the afternoon, I would usually sit down and like assign something that was very productive that I wanted them to kind of accomplish that afternoon, go over whatever that looked like in the afternoon. Then they would do some independent learning. When they were little, that would sometimes look like we had a mother's helper. From the time I came back from burnout, I've had somebody to help me. I've hired a housekeeper because I've learned it's easier for me to make money than to keep up on everything in the household.
Yeah.
And so I kind of flipped that mindset. So I would have that. And I also had a mother's helper that came in. So we've had college students come in. We've also had retired grandmas come in that have just loved on my kids. It's given them something to do. It's taught my kids about, you know, intergenerational communication and wealth and wisdom. So I've always had people come in and help do stuff like that. And then the afternoons and the evenings, if we were running any activities, we limited them one per kid per season. So that's when I would do like the mindless stuff, you know, the stuff that I could do if I was interrupted, no big deal. But that's when I would work in those work. So I usually have fluctuated anywhere from 4 to 6 hours a day of work. In a really busy season, maybe 8 hours. I very rarely worked after my kids went to bed. That was my time with my husband.
Yeah.
But like I said, that fluctuated, but that's kind of like the general gist of my life.
Yeah. I was going to ask the mother's helper. Is that what it is?
Yep.
So is that a website that people can look at? Because I've never heard of that.
Nope. It's a term I learned from, I don't remember where I was. Somebody said it was back before I didn't have money to hire a full-time nanny.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At that point. So somebody said, well, you should get a mother's helper. And I was like, what is a mother's helper? Yeah. And they said, it's just somebody who comes in and helps you with your kids. And I'm like a babysitter. They're like, well, no, because you're still there. They're just like hanging out. Like they did crafts with my kids. And at one point it was like a 12-year-old, you know, or 11-year-old who wasn't quite old enough to babysit all my kids on their own. I had 4 kids.
Right.
Like they were a handful.
Yeah.
But they could totally come in and do like crafts with them and keep an eye on them, keep an eye on the little one, or it was just somebody to come in. We've had college students come in and help just different. We found them different ways through friends. A lot of times back then, now I'd probably look on like care.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think if you're going to work or run a business, help is a big deal. Like for our own mental health, help is a big deal. Whether it's keeping the house clean, whether it's taking the kids for an afternoon, whether it's outsourcing, like you said, taking them to activities where literally they can go do that and you're not responsible for everything. You can do something else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really important.
Wonderful. Yes. My goodness. Yes. So I imagine over the course of the years, your view on education has kind of morphed and changed. So how would you describe your personal philosophy on education now? And we kind of got hints of it when you were saying things like your kids have learned a lot from you with this lifestyle. But yeah, what would you say your philosophy is on learning and educating and all that?
It's pretty eclectic. I use a lot of different things, which I think most people who have homeschooled for more than a couple of years start to pick and choose based on their kids, on their own personality, on their different seasons of life. But for me, it eventually became more unschooling. So my older kids laugh. They're like, Mom, when we were homeschooled, you were super structured. You were like, let's do school at home. And I ended up burned out. Like, don't do school at home. That is that is a bad plan. But when you don't know anybody else that homeschools, you know, that's like, that's all I knew. I liked school. Like, you know, people assume I homeschool because I didn't actually like traditional schooling, but I'm like, no, actually I really enjoyed traditional schooling. So we started out really structured and every year got less and less structured. Just being honest. So my youngest one has been totally unschooled. And there were even moments in time where I was like, I don't know if this kid's learning anything, but then he's in college. Like he applied for college all on his own. He wasn't even technically ready to be graduated, I guess, but he found a scholarship, got everything paid for completely on his own and came to me and said, Mom, I found this program. I'm going to open an automotive shop. Here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to take this entire certification at the college and it's all paid for. And I'm like, okay, buddy, are you sure? And he's like, yeah. And so he was graduated that day because with homeschooling, you can do that. So my philosophy is kids are learning all the time.
Yeah.
And we've been lied to as a society that kids have to be taught in order to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Oh my goodness. Yes.
And that is the biggest line of BS that I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. Kids learn all the time. We as adults learn all the time. When we need to know something, we figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest thing is that teach your kids to learn, to know how to learn. The biggest disservice we can do to our kids is spoon feed them their education, force them to figure it out and let them fail. And that's totally okay for them to make mistakes because that's how we learn in life. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where I have gone, you know, over 18 years of homeschooling from school at home to kids are learning all the time. Yeah. Should there still maybe be a little structure? Yeah. You know, you want to be intentional. I think intentional learning is important. You're bringing those opportunities to your kids, but I don't like with my youngest, there were no requirements that he would meet certain benchmarks, nothing at all. And now he's in college doing, you know, he's doing great.
I bet all of them are doing just fine, right?
Yeah, every single one of them. My 22-year-old called me the other day. He's like, Mom, I am on track to make $200,000 this year in my business. I am like, how many 22-year-olds that know that can say that? I was like, buddy, I'm so proud of you. So I have three that are entrepreneurs and my oldest one decided to take the employee route and that's okay too. But the fact is they're all doing fantastic. And I didn't have to have this super regimented course of learning. I think the only thing that helps is moms. Like that just makes us feel better.
Yes.
But it's not really for the kids' benefit.
Yeah. And that's two things I want to shine on right there is that your kids feel loved. They did not feel neglected all these years. You still meet with a young adult now for breakfast, which shows the type of relationship you guys have. And the other being that they have all been able to know how to be successful in life. That's all we can ask for as parents. And me just hearing this conversation of a parent that wanted to have it both, you can have it both and raise wonderful, well-rounded adults. I think even more so because we are living in the generation where I truly do believe that the future is entrepreneurial mindsets. It's like the phrase that you keep hearing, like, we don't know what jobs are going to be held in the future, especially nowadays. The future is very unknown. So to put it all in this box that everybody should learn this way or be on this career path is completely wrong. And I think that when your kids watch you doing it, there's just so much to learn from that. All right. So for your platform, Homeschool CEO, what inspired you to create it? I think you've kind of briefly spoken on it, but I'd love to hear a little bit more. And then what exactly does your platform have to offer other parents?
Yeah. So with Homeschool CEO, it was actually my third business and Homeschool CEO is my fourth business, but during my third business, I had built a really successful digital marketing agency and I was running Facebook and Instagram ads for other businesses. And so at this point I had been in the homeschooling and entrepreneurial space for 16 and a half years around there. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'd kind of resigned to the fact that I was alone. Like just being honest, because I would go to homeschool groups and I would kind of get this sideways glance, like, you do what? Why? Like, why do you run a business? Like, oh, you can't sit with us because you have to go take a business call on a Friday afternoon. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm sorry. But I would feel kind of ostracized. Like, I didn't connect with these moms, right? And then I would go over to the entrepreneurial space and I would have entrepreneurs go, you do what? You home? Now, this was pre-COVID. Okay. So
right.
Now people are like, you're a genius. But back then people were like, you do what? Why? Why would you want to homeschool your kids? Are you crazy? Like, are you, you know, they would, I got some off the wall questions. Like, is it religious? Or I'm like, no, it had nothing to do with religion. That was not one of my reasons. I would have all of these crazy questions. Right. And so I just kind of resigned to the fact that I was alone and I was okay with that. And so I spent a long time just kind of doing my thing and loving my kids and building businesses. But I had built this pretty successful digital marketing agency. And I thought to myself, you know, have you ever had that feeling in your gut? Like, oh, this is a stepping stone to get somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it was. Like, I knew this was a stepping stone to, but eventually I'd run ads to something of my own thing. Like, I was learning all of these digital marketing concepts and techniques because I would run my ads to something else that would be a bigger platform someday. And I was driving down the road and I saw a billboard that said dream big. And I felt the words homeschool CEO. And I was like, that's really weird. Like, where did that come from? Like, you know, you have those fleeting moments, those thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I drove home. I was like 5 minutes from home and I drove home and I pulled up, you know, GoDaddy, and I searched, like, it's so simple. Somebody has to own it. Nothing. So I just reserved it everywhere.
Right.
And then proceeded to file a trademark on it. Didn't know exactly what I was going to do with it, but I was like, that's what I've been all these years. I'm a homeschool CEO. And I chose the word CEO because it's different than a mom with a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a night and weekend, you know, it's not that, like, my women, a lot of them are the breadwinners. We have a lot of single moms, which their business is their sole income. A lot of my women have retired their husbands. Like, it's a legitimate full-time income business. So that's where homeschool CEO started. It was just this thought. And then I thought, you know what, maybe that means I'm not alone in the world. Mm. Maybe that means there's other entrepreneurs who homeschool their kids too. And so I opened up this Facebook group and then people just started coming and then more people came and then they went and got everybody else they knew. And so now people go out on the internet and they're like, you homeschool and run a business, you got to come over here and meet Jen. Like, this is where it's happening. This is where all the entrepreneurs who homeschool and work full-time, like, this is where we hang out. And now I've built this international community represented by 13 different countries. And it's just incredible. And that's the backstory. There wasn't this great vision at the beginning and it just kind of unfolded. And now, now it's just this incredible community.
Oh, I love it. So what are some of the resources that you offer then?
Yep. So we offer business coaching for entrepreneurs who are scaling their businesses and building to that next level. We offer a paid membership, the Homeschool CEO Society. And that's usually where people, you know, we have the free community where everybody is welcome. But then if you're serious about really building your businesses and want to connect kind of at that deeper level, we have the Homeschool CEO Society. And it's really different than anything else on the market because we not only offer business coaching, which is what my expertise for sure. Mm-hmm. We also offer homeschool coaching. We have a homeschool coach on staff that is there to answer all your questions. So if you're like, this curriculum is not working, but I still want kind of a loose curriculum, I want a curriculum, she will actually get on the phone with you, talk through like what is happening in your business, your life, your kids, help you pick that. We have weekly training on how to grow your business in those pockets of time, which is really different because we always take into account the fact that we have kids underfoot at all given times.
Right. Yeah. That is wonderful.
Yep. And then we have one-on-one business coaching as well in a mastermind.
Awesome. My goodness, Jen, that is so great. Yeah. For anybody who is wanting to go ahead and juggle both these things, it sounds like a great community for that. All right. So let's say we've got that working parent that does want to continue working, but then also consider homeschooling, or maybe they are already homeschooling and they want to play with the idea of starting their own business. What advice do you have on like where they should even begin?
All right. So that's two different people. So if they already have your business, let's start there because that's the easier.
Okay.
It's actually, in my opinion, it is easier to put homeschooling adding on to the entrepreneurial mindset, because as entrepreneurs, we already have a, we're going to figure it out attitude. Like, right. It's just an easier way to build the system. That's how I built mine. But we deal with both. So for the mom who is like, I'm working full time. I love my job. I don't necessarily want to give it up, or I'm building a business. This works for either one of them. But I believe that homeschooling might be the best fit for my kids, whether it's 1 year, whether it's the rest of their education, whether it's part-time, whatever that looks like. The first thing I would have her do is join the community, first of all, because we're going to be able to take her situation. If she's like, hey, this is my situation, this is my kids' age. Mm-hmm. But the first thing is, you know, really look at like your teaching style, like be really realistic. How much time can you spend teaching your kids? Like, what does that look like? Do you want just an open and go curriculum? Because as entrepreneurs, we need some type of structure to keep the kids busy and occupied mm-hmm. while we're working. And so right. Totally unschooling doesn't necessarily work unless you've taught them the foundation of that independent learning.
Okay.
But looking at that, talking with other entrepreneurs who homeschool to find out what works for them for different ages, different learning styles, and start to kind of look into that. One thing I would tell you, stay off of Pinterest and Instagram where you're looking at full-time homeschooling families. What works for them will not work for you. And mm-hmm. that is okay. So there's no reason to watch them or to have that mom guilt that your homeschool doesn't look Pinterest worthy. It does not matter. Like, let that go. But that would be the number one thing. Connect with some other women who are doing it, because they're going to be able to give you advice on the ground going, hey, this is what worked for me. This is what doesn't work. And then start to kind of evaluate things based on your time, your kid, your teaching style, and your kids' learning style. Okay. For the mom who's currently homeschooling and says, I need to start a business. Like mm-hmm. I want to start a business. Right. Either whether it's, I want more, or maybe my kids are getting older and they don't need me as much, and this is something I want to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a financial necessity. I would tell them first to look at any skill that they have. Traditional entrepreneurship will tell you to go look around and find a need and then go meet that. I take a backwards approach and say, figure out who you are first. Mm-hmm. What skill do you have? And then go figure out what need that meets.
Definitely. That's great. Yeah.
Because that's going to be the fastest thing for you to monetize. And for example, I had a gal in our community who's a single mom of 6 kids. Her husband, without going into too many details, he was arrested and will be in jail the rest of his life. And so All of a sudden overnight, she became a single mom to 6 children. She had never worked, but she thought, I'm going to start a bookkeeping business because bookkeepers make money. And so I got on the phone with her and we're talking about her idea of a bookkeeping business. And very quickly, I'm like, this is not a bookkeeper. I'm like, tell me more about why you want to start a bookkeeping business. And she said, oh, because I'm, you know, like they make $100 an hour and on and on. And I'm like, what excites you about bookkeeping? Mm-hmm. Oh, nothing. I hate numbers. I hate math. I'm like, yeah, you know, details are not her thing. I'm like, let's talk about what you love. Long story short, she loves knitting. She now sells knitting patterns on Etsy and is doing phenomenal. She is supporting her family of 7 with a knitting business. She does knitting tutorials. She's starting a course. She's going to start a membership. She is crushing it. I watched her do this in 1 year, becomes completely self-sufficient where she can support a family of 7 off of a knitting business.
Oh, I love that. That gave me chills even hearing. Good for her.
She's amazing.
Yeah. And also when you do that, the way that you look at figuring out what you should be doing is you're going to be more passionate about it. And that's what's going to drive you. You're not passionate. It's going to fail, I think. Like, or you're going to burn out if you're not passionate about it.
Well, it's because you don't have a deep enough why.
Yes.
Money will never be a deep enough why. Mm-hmm. You have to love it. And there are still hard days. I don't care what business you have. You know, just like there's hard days in parenting. You're going to always hit those, you know, challenges in life. But when it's something that you're uniquely aligned with and made for, that is what we build businesses on. Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely. All right. So now that we have seen, let me ask this real quick before I move on. Besides your platform, or along with your platform, I should say, were there any like specific resources or books that you were like, this really helped me out starting off?
Yes. The book Brave Learner.
The Brave Learner. Yes.
Yeah. The Brave Learner. That is actually one of my all-time favorite books because it really talks about for homeschooling. It talks about the idea that we can build a life on our own terms. Like, you don't have to follow anybody else's patterns or expectations. And when we allow children to follow their dreams, and when we as parents can follow our dreams, that's when the magic really happens. Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't tell you how many interviews somebody has recommended that book. If my listeners have not read it now, they really should, because it's been recommended over and over for different reasons. You have another view and spin point on it. I love it. I started the book. I really need to continue to read it because I keep hearing it. There's a pattern here. All right. So as we wrap things up, if you could briefly, now that you're on the other side of it and your kids, you just graduated your last child, what words of encouragement can you share with all of us?
Take a deep breath. It is all going to be okay. That's number one. I think so often when we're in the thick of it, we think whatever we do is going to ruin our children. As moms, we love our kids so much. I mean, we do, and we want them to succeed, and we think everything we do is like this make it or break it decision. And mm-hmm. the reality is it's all going to be okay. Every decision can be changed, can be undone. Nothing is final. It's all okay. And then second thing is build your life on your own terms, not what somebody else is telling you, not like what your parents or grandparents are going, you know, back in the day, we did it this way. Yeah. Let that go.
Yes. Like,
we're looking to the future. So it's okay. We can still love and value and glean wisdom from that. Mm-hmm. But don't be afraid to build a life outside of those boundaries and to follow your gut and trust yourself.
I love that. Yes. All right. So these are the last two questions that we ask everybody. If you could hand a book to every new person that you met, what book would it be?
It would be, actually, it's this book. It would be Essentialism. It's actually a business book.
Okay.
This is the book I would give. And the reason why is it teaches you to focus on what is most important to you and cut away everything else. And I think a lot of times when we get wrapped up in trying to do it all, that's where we start to go, I can't do all this. Like, that's when you start to hear people say, I can't do this, is because you're not focusing on just the essential things in your life, in your children's life, in your life. And we're so afraid that if we go down one path and to the exclusion of other things that we're going to miss out. But the fact is there's always time to do those other things. Like, you know, but I would just, that's what I would do, because I think it's a business book, and I think it can be applied to homeschooling and just to life in general.
Oh, definitely going to look at that one. That's great. I think both Nathan and I will probably enjoy reading that one. All right. And then the final, if you knew you could only leave one last piece of wisdom for your children, what would it be?
Create a life you love, and yeah, on your own terms. Like, that's what it would be. Not to worry about what everybody else thinks you should do, but just, again, like I just said before, trust yourself and follow that.
Okay. Wonderful. All right, Jen. So where can people find you?
The easiest place right now is on Instagram at Homeschool CEO.
Okay. And then if they're interested in your membership, where do they look for that?
They can find all the information for the membership on homeschoolceo.com. And there's a link there to join the Facebook group, the membership, anything that you need. You can connect with me that way as well.
Great. All right. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much, Jen. This was a wonderful conversation. I know I learned quite a bit from it myself, and I'm hoping it will help other families that are looking to kind of balance it all themselves as well, or juggle. I know some people don't like the word balance, so I will say juggle.
You know what? I used to be that person. I used to say, please don't say balance, because balance implies that everything's 50-50, but it's more like balancing on a bicycle, you know, where you kind of go to the left and then you come to the middle, then you go to the right and then you come to the middle. So I have since redefined that, going, it's not the word balance, it's just how we define it. That's the problem.
Yes. Yeah. I think I'm totally with the bicycle thing. Yes. Cause I don't see it the other way. No, but it's more like, it's the, like that juggling act, like, you know,
absolutely. I get it.
All right. Well, thank you again, Jen. And I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for having me.
We want to thank Jen for joining us today. She is such an encouragement for those juggling business and homeschool life. And depending on when you are listening to this episode, Jen is currently offering a free online summit for entrepreneurs who homeschool from October 18th to the 22nd of 2021. The link to register is in the show notes.
We also want to thank all of you for joining us around the campfire today, as well as those of you who continue to join us each and every week faithfully. If you have been enjoying our podcast, please be sure to follow us on your podcast app and write a review. We would so appreciate that. We would also love for you to connect with us on social media, such as Facebook or Instagram, or just send us an email and say hi or give us whatever questions you have. We are here for you. We hope you guys have an amazing week, and as always, let's light a fire they can't put out.